Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Including You, the new series from Lead at Any Level. Including You features stories from chief diversity officers and other executives who are creating inclusive cultures in their organizations. Our goal is to show what's working in companies just like yours, to give you the tools you need to keep pushing for progress in your own workplace. We want to create belonging and opportunity for everyone, including you. And now here's your host, Amy C. Wanninger.
Welcome back to Including You. I'm your host, Amy C. Wanninger, the Inclusion Catalyst. My guest today is Dr. Charisse Bernard. She's the head of diversity, equity, and inclusion of Invitae, a biomedical company bringing comprehensive genetic information into mainstream medicine to improve healthcare. Invitae employs about 1,700 people across the U.S. Dr. Bernard, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Amy. I'm happy to be here.
I am excited to talk to you. Biomedicine is just a cool place to be, and DNA research is just exploding right now. Can you help us understand why is inclusion so important for Invitae?
Yeah. First of all, the business that we're in, our mission and our vision is really to bring comprehensive genetic information to everyone and to make that information accessible. And some people might be asking, why would I need that? Genetic information, your personal genetic information, is going to make it easier for you to make medical decisions. For example, if you have a particular genetic disposition to cancer or an autoimmune disease, finding that out will help you to make informed, personalized decisions about your health, about your children's health, about your family's health. And so the vision and the mission of Invitae is to make that accessible to everyone. To make that genetic information mainstream for you and your family. And so the role that equity and inclusion brings to that mission and that vision is we have to make sure that the message that we're trying to bring across to patients all over is you belong here. Your family history, your health is important. You belong. And that very high level theme around belonging and everyone matters regardless of your identity, your race, your religion, your background is a very critical understanding and holds a very high importance within our organization. So for me, it actually makes this work exciting because health is something that we all have to think about. There's no difference in people when it comes to our health. It is the great, it levels the playing fields, right? There is no one regardless of your financial status, regardless of your race, regardless of your religion, there's no one that escapes the need for health. And so that makes my job really interesting because I am here to really just talk about accessibility of this information and making sure that we are making smart decisions about our health and our well-being with our physicians and our families.
And I would imagine that in the biotech world and in the medical industry broadly, there's an extra lift that needs to be done because medicine has been exclusive at best in the past and predatory in the worst case in some instances. And so how do you find the gap or how do you manage that gap between perception and this new reality that you're trying to create? How are you educating people about this initiative?
Amy, I have to say that's the hardest part. That is the hardest part because you're absolutely right. I think in the past, healthcare in and of itself has been systematically designed to exclude, right? Just like all of the other systems that we see around real estate, education, there are so many systems that have been created to systematically be exclusive. And so that is my biggest hurdle. That's the biggest hurdle for everyone at my organization, which is finding out how do we reframe the idea of accessibility to anyone and to everyone. And so I don't have the answer to how we're doing it yet. The best thing that I could say is through education, it's through awareness, it's through creating that role modeling of accessibility, it's through telling patient stories. One thing that I really love that we do is we storytell through our patients so that when you see a patient, and you're hearing how our work and how our products have helped them to identify an issue within their family or even genetic testing for future moms, right? To understand what issues their babies might have. That's something that everyone cares about. That's something that we all, once our moral compass thinks about health and how accessible it is, everyone cares about that. And so it really, it's a slow work. I call it the slow burn, because it's not something that people will just automatically change their minds about. Once you get into history and see how health has been used and has been, and research has been used and has been weaponized. And it really is, it's tough to change that narrative. And I'm a scientist myself. And so I know and understand the importance of scientific research and the hard work that scientists do to problem solve and to get answers to questions. And so I understand the level of work and the level of ingenuity that has to happen in those laboratories. But again, it's all about changing the narrative. And I believe that we're doing that through storytelling. I believe that we are doing that through taking a very targeted approach at specific communities, right? We want to really drive our DE&I efforts by looking at specific communities. What are the conditions that might be prevalent, more prevalent in one community over another, developing personalized tests for that community? Those are the things that we're trying to do to change that narrative, but it's not easy. It's a slow burn. It doesn't happen overnight. I call it a game of inches, because we get a little bit closer with every single story that we tell. So that's what we're doing. It's hard. It's hard.
I can imagine. Now, is your role as head of diversity, equity, and inclusion more internal facing or external facing? What's the mix there?
Yeah, it's mostly actually internal facing right now. I do some external facing work just through thought leadership and speaking about, again, the storytelling around the research that we're doing. So most of my work externally is about a POV and developing thought leadership around this work and making it normalized to talk about medical genetics, because I think that people in their day to day don't always think about it. They don't always think about it until they're in the position to think about it. And when I say the position, you might be starting a family and you might want to have kids and you want to understand what is the potential health outlook of my baby going to be, or my parent has just been diagnosed with cancer. It's a genetic prevalent cancer. What is my health outlook going to be? And so we don't normally think about these things until one day we're in a position and all of a sudden we have to think about it. And then we wonder, okay, is there a company that is doing this work? And we are doing the work. So my role externally is more around the thought leadership and sharing those stories and normalizing this for everyone. The internal work that I'm doing, though, is to make sure that as a business, we are focusing on inclusion and equity, because that's going to make our product better. So my focus is really making sure that we have the strategies in place, the mindset, the behaviors in place as an organization to make sure that we're asking the right questions to make our products more inclusive. So that's the work that I do, and I'm very proud. I love the work. It's highly relevant to me. I've personally dealt with cancer in my own family. And so when I think about other families experiencing that, and then having that looming question about, okay, is that something that I'm going to face down the line? It is a deeply personal work for me to do this work at Invitae.
I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about your role internally, if we can. What are some of the things that you're doing at Invitae that are helping you move the needle internally?
Yeah. One of the things that we've been working on recently is putting together an inclusivity guide. And this is mainly for our scientists who might be going out to conferences speaking on behalf of the organization, we want to make sure that the language that they're using is extremely inclusive. We've talked about inclusive language, I think, in organizations for a long time now. But when it comes to medicine and then when it comes to science, we're just scratching the surface on what inclusive language means for science and what it means for health. Just scratching the surface, and we're just getting started. And so that initiative that we are launching very soon for our internal organization is deeply important to me because we're going to be thought leaders in this space. We want to make sure that everyone who's speaking on behalf of Invitae and everyone who's speaking about genetics for health is speaking in a way that is inclusive to everyone who might be listening, because everyone who might be listening is a potential patient. And so that's one of the things that we're doing now that I'm extremely proud of. I haven't seen too many organizations really take a focus there. So very proud of that work. Some of the other things that we're doing is we're really trying to amplify the voices and the perspective of our employee resource groups. We have several employee resource groups that really focus on identity between race, ability, all of race, ethnic background, all of the things. And so we want to make sure, especially within our organization, that when it is necessary, those voices are amplified and we want to hear directly from the people there. So I, in my role, manage all of our ERGs. I make sure that everyone has the opportunity and the freedom to put forth several different initiatives, create community, I think is a big one. Right now in the state of how things are in the world, we really need that community. And so that's one of the things that we really said contributes to a very inclusive workplace, having that opportunity and the space to build community. So that's another thing that we're doing. We're amplifying those voices. Very, very happy to be a part of the work that all of our ERGs are doing right now.
That's incredible. And it's so important to make sure that we take people who haven't been heard.
Yeah.
And give them a space to speak authentically and speak truth.
Absolutely.
When you engage in this work, and you've got a lot of initiatives going on, how do you measure success?
I always get that question. And in DE&I specifically, it's so hard to measure success. Our success and our measurement, it doesn't always look like the sales organization, for example, or how many campaigns we've launched, right? Our success is more measured around how safe do you feel in the workplace to bring up problems or questions without the feeling of being retaliated. When I hear someone in my organization say, I asked a question, I wasn't really sure, but I felt safe to ask the question. When I hear that, to me, I'm like, okay, something's working in that team. Something is working with that manager relationship. Something is working there. When I hear talent acquisition teams really put together very strategic approaches around hiring to make the hiring process more inclusive and more equitable, that to me is a measure of success, right? Something that is not just a one-off strategy, but something that we've built into the actual processes of the organization. That is a win for me. Very measurable. It absolutely will manifest into who's coming into the organization, what our candidate pools look like, who are we reaching, who's the audience. To me, that is a great signal of success in that area. And then I'm also really thinking about our opportunities to advance and promote talent that we already have. I want to make sure that those processes are clear from bias as possible, and making sure that we're very clear on these are the things that you need to do to get to this next level. How do we make sure that we're asking the right questions? How do we make sure that the right voices are at the table? And so my kind of thoughts around measurement aren't as clear cut, right, as another organization. But when I speak to people and I hear, I was able to ask this question without fear, and I felt extremely comfortable in my team, and I feel like I belong in my team, even though there might be other people on the team that are different from me. And people have different views, but that doesn't mean that we can't collaborate. To me, that's a sign that our inclusion and equity strategies are working, and that they're real and that they're tangible. So that's what I'm looking for. What are people saying? We do a lot of surveying at Invitae. We take the opportunity every year to survey our teams, to ask questions related to equity and belonging. And we really look at those responses and we try to use those responses to target areas of opportunity within the organization where we need to do some work, whether it's looking at who are the leaders, what is the demographic makeup of the leaders, really diving into that data and making sure that we're taking very targeted approaches.
That is so important. Yeah. I think to have both a qualitative and quantitative approach to how you're measuring success, because sometimes the work that we do in diversity and inclusion, it can take a long time to show up in even in representation numbers or in pay equity or in bottom line results, right? Or top line results. But when you start hearing the anecdotes, that's a leading indicator of success. And all of those other things are lagging indicators, right? So you know you're on the right track along the way. And it does, it can take time.
It takes a long time. It's not an overnight. And I think because of the time it takes, there has to be a level of kind of patience there with the work. And it takes a long time to get everyone on board and bring people along. One of the things that I love to do is to reiterate the messaging, right? Continue to say the thing, reiterate the messaging. When we have our new DE&I strategy for the year, take every opportunity to work that into your team, right? Use some of the competencies of an organization that is equitable and that is inclusive and talk to your team about those competencies, build the competencies. As leaders, we invite leaders to role model what we are asking the rest of the team to do. It starts with the leads, right? So I am always asking the leaders, role model what we're asking the rest of your team to do, right? If it's communication, if it's inclusive language, role model it and then ask your team to do it. And that's the way that we bring people along with the change.
Very good. So as you look forward to next year, or even 3 years out, what's next for inclusion at Invitae?
Oh, that's a great question. I can't believe we're talking about next year already. It's in a month, which is this year flew by. But when I think about the future, I'm always brought back to behaviors. I think as a community, DE&I practitioners, we have mastered the art of creating a strategy. We have our spreadsheets, we have our PowerPoint decks, we love making slides, all of those things. But I think what's next for me is really seeing those strategies translate into changes in behavior and changes in the way that we operate. The other thing that I really am thinking about is how can we relate our inclusion strategy to the infrastructure of the organization? How can we build in these strategies to make sure that inclusion is practical, it's happening day to day because our infrastructure is now inclusive. That's something I've been thinking deeply, heavily about infrastructure, operationalizing inclusion. That is my 100% focus right now, is to take that work from a deck and make it operationalized. And so that's what I think is next. And I think once we operationalize and really work these strategies into our infrastructure, the behaviors will change as a result of that, right? The behaviors will become second nature. And that's really what I want to see. I want to see the behaviors change. I want to see us as an organization take the inclusive approach every time. I want us to be mindful and to be intentional about being equitable and being inclusive. And therefore, that's going to change our decision-making. That's going to change how we do it. And it's going to change the way that we make decisions. So I think that's what's next for us.
Very good. Dr. Bernard, I want to thank you so much for sharing your expertise and your insights with my friends, my listeners, my audience, and viewers. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate you and I appreciate the work you're doing. And I look forward to seeing and watching how you operationalize all of the inclusion successes that you're going to have.
Thank you so much, Amy. It was such a pleasure to be here with you.
If you've enjoyed this episode, follow Lead at Any Level on LinkedIn and YouTube. Then join us for Including You video simulcast every Thursday at noon Eastern. Including You can also be enjoyed each week as part of the Living Corporate audio podcast series, available on all major podcast platforms. Learn more at living-corporate.com. Including You is brought to you in part by Lead at Any Level. a boutique training and consulting firm improving employee engagement and retention for companies that promote from within. Lead at any level. Leaders can be anywhere and should be everywhere. Learn more at leadatanylevel.com. Lead at Any Level and its logo are registered trademarks of Lead at Any Level LLC. The views and opinions of guests on our show do not necessarily reflect the positions of Lead at Any Level, Living Corporate, or the sponsors of Including You.
That's it for this week's episode of Including You. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a review or a comment so others can find us as well. Be sure to join me next week when my guest will be international speaker and my personal friend, Sylvia Buffour.